Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Conference Call. We are extremely fortunate to have His Grace Krishnadhan Prabhuji here with us today. And Prabhuji would be enlightening us by walking us through Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19 and Verse 6. But before we dive into this nectarine class, I will request Raj Prabhuji to share a brief introduction about His Grace Krishnadhan Prabhuji. Raj
Hare
Prabhuji,
Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Dhanu Pranam to you and all assembled devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. This is a brief introduction for His Grace Krishnadhan Prabhuji. Prabhuji is a senior brahmachari and a full-time preacher at ISKCON Nasik since 2008. He is currently serving as the president of ISKCON Nasik and looks after youth preaching activities in Nasik. As the founder and director of Samruddhi Schools of Leadership, he emphasizes the importance of training and guiding teenagers in Krishna consciousness. His recently published book, Get Set Go, Student Success Handbook, is highly acclaimed for its lucidity and is a practical guide in Krishna consciousness. His seminars and courses based on Vedic scriptures have found a niche among corporates and colleges across Mumbai. Prabhuji is also a committee member of Gopal Garden High School. This is a brief introduction for Prabhuji. Thank you, Mataji. On to you.
Thank you, Raj Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Krishnadhan Prabhuji. Dhanvat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for your valuable time and association this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Without further ado, I would like to request you to please take over from here. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Lakshmi Mataji, for such a warm welcome. And Hare Krishna, all devotees, for being here. It's my great pleasure to be here amongst all of you after a long time. We'll begin with the prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, I'll just share my screen so that we can read the verse for today's discussion. So we are reading from Canto 5, Chapter 19, Description of Jambudvipa and Bharatvarsha Glories. Text number 6. Na vaisa atmatma vatam suruttamaha saktastrilokyam bhagavan vasudevaha nastri krutam kash malamashnu vita na lakshmanam chapi vihatu marhati. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Since Lord Ramchandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is the most beloved super soul of all self-realized souls, and he is their very intimate friend. He is full of all opulences. Therefore, he could not possibly have suffered because of separation from his wife, nor could he have given up his wife and Lakshmana, his younger brother. To give up either would have been absolutely impossible. Purport. In defining the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we say that he is full in all six opulences: wealth, fame, strength, influence, beauty, and renunciation. He is called renounced because he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is specially attached to the spiritual world and the living entities there. The affairs of the material world take place under the superintendence of Durga Devi. Srushti sthiti pralaya sadhana shakti reka chaye vayasya bhuvanani bibharti durga. Everything is going on under the strict rules and regulations of the material energy represented by Durga. Therefore, the Lord is completely detached and need not give attention to the material world. Sita Devi belongs to the spiritual world. Similarly, Lord Lakshmana, Ramchandra's younger brother, is a manifestation of Sankarsana. And Lord Ramchandra himself is Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since the Lord is always spiritually qualified, he is attached to servants who always render transcendental loving service unto him. He is attached to the truth in life, not to Brahminical qualities. Indeed, he is never attached to any material qualities. Although he is the super soul of all living entities, he is specially manifest to those who are self-realized, and he is specially dear to the hearts of his transcendental devotees. Because Lord Ramchandra descended to teach human society how dutiful king should be, he apparently gave up the company of Mother Sita and Lakshmana. Actually, however, he could not have given them up. One should therefore learn about the activities of the Lord Ramchandra from the self-realized soul. Then one can understand the transcendental activities of the Lord. So, Hare Krishna, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, 9. Chapter number 19 and text number 6. And the previous, if you have understood that the fifth canto, basically, you will see many intricate chapters, Jambudeep and various types of islands and various types of deities, presiding deities over there, and so many devotees offering prayers unto them. So basically, if we see, the fifth canto is not basically intended just to tell us whereabouts of the creation. We cannot map the entire srushti based on the fifth canto. To some extent, geographical explanation is there, but not in entirety. Like Prabhupada Lilamrut, if you read, that Prabhupada was here in America, then here in New York, and then he went to San Francisco, and then from there. So we cannot draw a map of America based on itinerary which was followed by Srila Prabhupada. So similarly, we cannot draw the entire map of the creation based on fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It gives a hint. Obviously, there are other literatures with the help of them. And therefore, we see Mayapur temple, the planetarium that is being built. The fifth canto is used, but just that is not enough. Some other additional resources are also required. So what is then the intention behind mentioning all those places? The basic intention is that how the Supreme Lord is present there, and how all wonderful devotees offer their prayers. So everyone is offering prayers to the Supreme Lord. So to just prove the supremacy of the Supreme Lord in the entire creation, these descriptions are mentioned. And what we are reading today, Jambudvip, the part of the entire creation, one dvip, one island, and wherein Hanumanji is offering actually his own prayers unto his beloved Lord Ram. And in yesterday's fifth verse, you must have heard, you know, Martyavataras Tviha Martya Shikshanam. Lord Ram descended in the human form, basically to teach human beings. What was the motto of Lord's descent? The motto is to teach human beings, and when he himself appears in the human form. So a human form descent, or we can say the Lord has descended in the human form to teach other human beings. Now, today's verse also is a very special, and tomorrow will be a more special verse. So Hanumanji is saying, who is Lord? So first of all, when we also offer our prayers to the Lord, or you say any great souls, when they offer prayers to the Lord, they first of all speak about the position of the Lord and their own position. Even if you see Prahlad's prayers, he defines first of all the position of the Lord and then his position. Who am I? Brahma, Deya, Suragana, Munayo, Pisiddha. They are offering prayers. Who am I? So Hanumanji is also saying, first of all, he clarifies, you know, what is the position of the Lord. And he says, Atmatma Vatam. He says, you are the soul of all self-realized souls. Atma is Atma, Atma Vatam. Atma Vatam means self-realized. And Atma means soul of all self-realized souls. And we know self-realized souls. What do they contemplate on? Ramante yogino nante satya anande chidatmani iti ramapade nasav. So the Lord is called as Ram. Now Ram has got various meanings. It's also a name. And because yogis, they delight in that Supreme Lord, therefore he's called as Ram. Ramante yogino anante satyanande chidatmani iti ramapadena. So, and therefore it's called as Ram. So basically, in whom all these self-realized souls delight. That is Atmatmavatam. And even if you see Bhagavad Gita, Yo antaha sukhantara arama sathantar jyotirevaya sayogi brahma nirvanam brahma bhuto digacchati. When Krishna is mentioning about that yogi who looks within and he gets that happiness within, you know, at various places Krishna talks about atyantikam sukham yattad buddhi grahyam atindriyam. So atyantika sukham, sukham akshayam ashnute, akshay sukh, unlimited happiness is being talked about that yogi who seeks pleasure in that supreme Lord. So atma atma vatam, that is Lord. And he is also called as, next Hanumanji says, suruttamaha. A very wonderful word, you know. First of all, what do you mean by surut? Surut is not a friend, basically. There are some words in Sanskrit for which we have just some close translations available. But they cannot describe the whole mood behind it. No? Like when we say gunas, you know, sattva guna, raja guna and tamo guna. Srila Prabhupada beautifully has given their translation at mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. But let us say dharma. Dharma cannot be translated as religion, you know. Basically, that means faith, then religion, when we talk about. So dharma is such an all-inclusive term, you know. It includes your duties. It includes innate nature of the soul. It includes our external behavior, achar. So it's an all-inclusive term. And when we translate, then what we are doing is actually we are looking at it only from one perspective. So similarly, sahrut is such a term, you know. The closest translation in English language available for the word sahrut is friend. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, what he can do, you know, when he was translating in English, the best friend, he says. Sridhar Swami, while commenting on this sahrut, because this word sahrut also comes in Bhagavad Gita 5.29. Bhuktaram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram Surudam sarva bhutanam jnatvamam shanti murchati. Srila Prabhupada has titled this shloka as, you know, the supreme peace formula in his purport. Supreme Peace formalized this. To know Krishna, what is Krishna? Bhoktaram yajna tapasam. He is Bhokta. He is the supreme enjoyer of all the yajnas and all the austerities performed. Bhoktaram sarvaloka maheshwaram. He is the master of all the planets. Suridam sarvabhutanam. Of all living entities, he is well-wisher. There it is translated as well-wisher. Now, Sarut, actually, it means causeless well-wisher. If you want to translate, that will be like the translation will be causeless well-wisher. Like we say, no? Talk about causeless mercy of the Lord. Causeless means there is no cause behind being merciful for the Lord. So that is causeless. So causelessly someone is wishing well for you. That is well-wisher. Don't see in term of ISKCON lingo well-wisher, you know. We have this, you know. We have a devotees of the Lord, a close circle of devotees. And we have those people who are not devotee, but we call them well-wishers, you know. Donors and well-wishers, we say. So well-wisher, they are wishing well. So, but still, when we see in terms of this ISKCON lingo, then well-wisher are like something like second grade compared to devotees. So devotees are first grade, you know. We give them first priority and well-wishers the second, maybe. So not in that sense, but well-wisher, like Srila Prabhupada used to sign every letter. You are ever well-wisher, wishing well for you. So that is a well-wisher. So well-wisher is the highest category, actually. And causeless well-wisher, that is still higher category. Causelessly wishing well. Like mother wishing well for her son, daughter. That is also causeless, you know. And here the word uses surut tamaha. Means supremely surut. In Sanskrit, you know, when we want to categorize, like in English we have good, better, best. Positive, comparative and superlative degrees. So surut, suruttara, and then is suruttama. So Hanumanji is saying Lord Ram as suruttama. He is the ultimate well-wisher, causeless well-wisher of every living entity. And that is the right befitting position of the Lord to glorify. Suruttama. And then Hanumanji is also saying he is Bhagavan. We all know the standard definition of Bhagavan, which Srila Prabhupada also quotes in the purport which we just saw, today's verse, that Bhagavan, Van means the possessor, right? Van means one who possesses something. So Dhanavan, the possessor of Dhana, wealth, is Dhanavan. Then Balavan, the possessor of some Bala, is called as Balavan. The possessor of beauty is called as Rupavan. So, one who possesses Bhaga, he is Bhagavan. What do you mean by Bhaga, by the way? Parashar Muni, father of Vyasadeva, he defines what is this Bhaga. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashashastriya jnana vairagya yoschaiva shannam Bhaga itingana. These six things are called as Bhaga. Right? And the same six things, Prabhupada writes, six opulences, you know, knowledge, strength, fame, wealth, beauty, and renunciation. So these are the six opulences. And Lord is like renounced, you know. And we see that anyone gets any one of the opulences, even to some degree, that person becomes famous, you know. Someone gets some richness, someone gets some beauty, someone gets some wealth. Then people become famous on the planet, basically. But Krishna is, Bhagavan is one who possesses all these six opulences for all the time in full quantity. That is Bhagavan. So, Hanumanji says, Lord, you are Bhagavan. And basically, in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, while defining the identity of Lord Chaitanya, before that, Kaviraj Goswami gives a crystal clear understanding of what is Bhagwan. No. We know that famous shloka from Bhagavata, Madanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagwan. It is the supreme truth is known by three names, Brahma, Paramatma and Bhagwan. And while mentioning the meaning of the word Bhagwan, he says there are five characteristics that is to be understood for Bhagavan. One we have already understood. What is that? Bhagavan, one who possesses six opulences, that is Bhagavan. That is one of those five, what Kaviraj Goswami mentions. So in Adilila, chapter 2, which is Chaitanya Tattva Nirupana, text 23-24, talks about these five attributes of Bhagavan. What he says, Paravyamete Vaise Narayana Naam Shadaishwarya Purna Lakshmi Kanta Bhagavan Veda Bhagavata Upanishata Agam Purna Tattva Yare Kohe Nahi Yara Sama. So the first attribute, Kaviraj Goswami says, Paravyamete Vaise Narayana Naam. Paravyama, he resides in the Paravyama. So there is material world and Paravyama, that is spiritual world. So he resides in the spiritual abode by the name Narayana. So he resides, Goloka Evani Vasati. He stays there in the Goloka. Akhilatma Bhuto. He stays there in the Paravyama. That is one attribute of Bhagavan. He stays there. What is second attribute? Shadaishwarya Purna. He is Shadaishwarya Purna. Full of six opulences that we just saw. So the second attribute is he is full of all those six opulences. And third attribute is Lakshmikanta Bhagavan. Who is Bhagavan? He is master of goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi. So these are the three attributes. Next verse talks about the other two. Veda Bhagavata Upanishad Agam. What do they all say? Vedas, Bhagavat, Upanishad, Agam, Shastras. All what they talk about? Purna Tattva Yara Kahe. They call him Purna Tattva. So he is supreme, complete, Purna Tattva. Om Purnamidham Purnamidham Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Upanishad talks about this Purna Tattva. He is Purna Tattva. So he is Purna. Purna Kahe, Veda Bhagavat Upanishad Agam Purna Tattva Yara Kahe. And the fifth attribute is Nahi Yara Sama. There is no one equal to him. No one is equal to him. Asamordva. Sama means equal. Urdva means anything greater. Asamordva means there is no one equal to him, no one superior to him. And Arjuna, when he saw Vishwarup, he also talks about this same thing. You know, Natvat samostya bhedikaha kutonya. Natvat sama. There is no one equal to him. Forget about anyone superior. Adhika kutonya. What to speak about someone greater than you? There is nothing greater than you. There is nothing equal to you. Forget about saying anything greater than you. And there, Krishna also talks about the same in Bhagavad Gita 7.7. Mattaha parataram nanyat kinchidaste dhananjaya. Mai sarvamidam prautam sutre manigana iva. Mattaha parataram na anyat kinchidasti dhananjaya. Hey Arjun, hey dhananjaya. There is nothing superior to me. Even point not 1%, nothing is greater than me. Like that. So these are the five features basically. What Kaviraj Goswami says when the word Bhagwan comes, these five things are to be associated with that. What is the first? Paravyomete Vaise Narayana Naam. He stays in Paravyoma, Shadaishwarya Purna, full of six opulences. And the third is Lakshmikanta Bhagwan. He is master of Lakshmi Devi. And today also, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, you know, that everything in the world is carried by Durga Devi, who is a small fraction expansion of Lakshmi Devi in one way. Maya Dakshena Prakriti Hi Suyate Sacharacharam. 9.10 Bhagavad Gita Krishna says that everything is being carried away by the Prakriti, the material energy. And what is this? So these are the three. And what is the fourth one? Vede Bhagavata Upanishad Agama Purna Tattva Yare Kahe. Everyone talks about him as Purna Tattva. Nahi Yarasam. So the fifth is, there is no one equal to Lord Krishna. And while defining, Hanumanji next says, Vasudevaha. So Lord is all pervading. One meaning of Vasudeva is, he is all pervading. That is what Srila Prabhupada has translated in today's verse. Vasudeva, all pervading. And Saktas Trilokyam Na. Lord is not attached to anything in the three worlds. He is supremely detached person. He doesn't have anything to do. Natasya Karyam Karnam Cha Vidyate. He don't have anything to do. But still he does activities. In third chapter of Gita, Krishna clarifies that why he do act. He perform act for the sake of people in general. Loka Sangraha Mevartham Sampashan Kartumarhasi. So to set an example for other peoples to follow, that one should not give up one's duty and do a karma. So basically Krishna does for that. So he don't have anything to do. He don't have anything to get attached to, because what he can get attached to? Because here everything is material. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, he is attached to something spiritual in the spiritual world, because he is attached to his devotees. So there is nothing that can attract Krishna in the material world, and so he is not attached. Saktas Trilokyam, no, he is not attached. And the next two very, what we can say, significant points Hanumanji makes, and we'll discuss them also. Na Lakshmanam Chapi Vihatum Arhati and Na Stri Krutam Kashmala Mashnu Vita. Stri Krutam, done by female, or separation from his own consort Sita. So he could not suffer because of separation from Sita, actually. He did not suffer in actuality. And next he says, Lakshmanam Chapi Vihatum Arhati. He could not give up his younger brother Lakshmana. So let us talk about Lakshmana's separation from Rama. We all have heard Sita's separation. We all have heard about Sita's separation, but not about Hanumanji's Lakshmanji's separation. So Lakshmanji was also separated, because Hanumanji mentions this, you know, Na Lakshmanam Chapi Vihatum Arhati. He could not have separated, but he separated. And Prabhupada writes, I'll first read from the purport, and then we'll discuss that pastime what it comes. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, actually, I'll again would love to share my screen. Wonderful purport Srila Prabhupada writes here, the last few sentences. Because Lord Ramchandra descended to teach human society how dutiful king should be, he apparently gave up the company of Mother Sita and Lakshman. Why? Very importantly, Prabhupada writes that he descended to teach human society how a dutiful king should be. So a dutiful king example is being set, and one should therefore learn about activities of Lord Ramchandra from self-realized souls. Then one can understand the transcendental activities of the Lord. Because many times we misunderstand, you know, we misunderstand pastimes of the Lord. Lord banishing Sita, how can Lord do that? Some people have this question in their minds. And how can Lord Ram, you know, he separated from Lakshman also. Vihatum Arhati, what we discussed today. So basically there is one pastime. Sridhar Swami, in his Bhavartha Deepika commentary to the same verse, today's verse, he talks about Lakshmana's separation from Ram. So what had happened? Lord Ram was ruling in Ayodhya. He had got Sita back, and they were ruling in Ayodhya and for long years, actually. So then one time Kal came there to remind him that now there is a time for Lord Ram to return back. So Kal, you know, one servant of Kal, or Kaladev, you can say, one doot, one messenger from the spiritual world, Kal personified. Kal came there and he wanted to remind Lord Rama, please wind up, come back. Your Leela is over. Like we see, you know, when Lord Ramchand, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing past tense and when he was in Jagannath Puri, so Advaita Charya had to remind him, now it is time to wind up, please wind up. And how that that message was sent, we all know, the code language. The rice is no longer being sold in the marketplace, something like that. So in the code language, Advaita Charya reminded Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to wind up his pastimes. Similarly, Kal is now coming and telling Lord Rama to please wind up. So before starting the conversation, Kal requested him, let the conversation be private, let no one intervene. And then Lord Ram ordered Lakshmanji to please safeguard, act like a guard over here. Don't allow anyone to come in. A private discussion is happening, no matter who enters. Please don't allow. So the conversation was happening. Lakshmanji was guarding. All of a sudden, Durvasa Muni comes. And we all know, you know, Durvasa Muni. And he wanted to meet Lord Ram. And he was in rush. He was in hurry. And Lakshmanji was like perfect servant, carrying the order of Lord Rama. He said, no, you can't meet. He's in meeting. Durvasa said, how can you do that? You know, I just want to meet him for a moment, you know. Allow me, otherwise I'll curse entire Ayodhya. So Lakshmanji was in now dilemma, you know, what to do. The entire Ayodhya will be at stake. And we all are aware of Durvasa's wrath, you know. So then Lakshmanji goes there actually and intervenes the discussion. And Ramji actually has promised Kal that anyone who comes and intervenes our discussion, I will immediately kill that person. So then Ramji wanted to kill Lakshman himself now. Now imagine, you know, what is to be done? So then actually some people say Hanumanji, some people say Vasishtaji, they intervened and intelligently they suggested that, you know, you do parityag of Lakshman, abandon Lakshman. That is like equivalent to death punishment. And then Lakshmanji was abandoned by Lord Rama. And then we know that Lakshmanji then goes into Sharayu River and then takes his Anantashesh form and depart. And actually the Kal has came to give the same message that close your pastimes, wind up and then go back. And then Lord Ram also followed the same path, entering into Sharayu and going back to. So the ending chapter of Lord's pastime, this comes that how Lakshmanji also was separated from Lord Rama. And what here Hanumanji is saying, that Hanumanji is saying here that the Lakshmanam Chapi Vihatu Marati, you don't have to give up your younger brother, but still you gave up for the sake of Prabhupada writes in the purport, for the sake of teaching human society how an ideal king should be. So he followed his word, right? What he has given to Kala. And the next is, next line in the verse is, Nastri Krutam Kashmalam Ashnuvita. Lord, he did not have to suffer because of separation from Mother Sita, but still Mother Sita was separated. Many people ask this question, you know. And still many people talk about this, Sita being banished by Lord Ram. So at the very first place, we need to understand that banish is a very heavy word, and we can say that Lord Ram was banished to exile, you know, by Dashrath and Kaikeyi, because then when they were banished, there was no one to take care of them. They were all alone, Sita Ram and Lakshman, and they were not knowing where to go, what to do. So that is called as banishment. Mother Sita was not in one way banished. Actually, she was within the kingdom of God, within the kingdom of Lord Ram only, because she was sent to Valmiki Muni's ashram. So she was sent to Valmiki Muni's ashram. And it was not that Lord Ram said, you know, go away now. He didn't say that. He asked Lakshman to escort Mother Sita to Valmiki's hermitage. So Valmiki's hermitage was very much part of Lord Ram's kingdom. And Lakshmanji himself escorted Mother Sita and handed over Sita to Valmiki ji. And Valmiki had so many other senior members in the ashram, senior ladies who were taking care of Mother Sita. So we cannot say that she was banished. So she was like taken care just like that of daughters by senior people in the ashram, senior ladies in the ashram. So there are different factors involved, and we can see this banishment from different perspectives actually. So the first, what Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport. Prabhupada has mentioned one perspective. We will see one or two more perspectives to this. Srila Prabhupada said that just to teach human society how an ideal king should be, right? So for a king to be effectively ruling the people, king himself has to be very exemplary, and that exemplariness has to manifest in all expression, in the all walks of his life. And one of the exemplariness is detachment. So Lord Ram, when he came to the world, he wanted to exemplify dharma in the most extraordinary way, and he did by showing that he has no attachment to his wife. He is detached. So how if Lord Ram had really any attachment, actually he would have married some another lady. See, Mother Sita had left Ayodhya now for Valmiki's ashram. So when Lord Ram was there, if he had any intention to enjoy the kingdom or showing that he is attached and he is concerned about the reputation, otherwise he would have married to some another lady. But at the time of marriage to Mother Sita, he has taken that vow, you know, Eka Patni Vrata Dharo, Bhagavatam glorifies him like that, 9th canto. So he has taken a vow of marrying to only one lady, and he kept that promise as well. So he was not concerned about reputation. Actually, it is mentioned that when a king has to perform yajna or any kind of sacrifice, please mute yourself. I am seeing some people are unmuting immediately and there is a disturbance. So we see that when a king has to perform some sacrifices, then what needs to be done is like a husband and wife, they should be together to perform that sacrifice. So what Lord Ram did, he has created an effigy of Mother Sita, a golden effigy. And that golden effigy would be always sitting next to Lord Ram whenever he would perform any yajna for that matter or any auspicious activity. So Lord Ram himself was very principled, and he is exhibiting through sending Sita away from his palace. Actually, that is not irresponsibility or immorality, but an exemplary conduct. And you might then ask, you know, then why care about such a rumor, you know? First of all, Sita was not at fault. And secondly, some fellow somewhere in the kingdom, he was spreading the rumor. Not everyone was, it was not the talk of the town per se. Some fellow somewhere here and there was talking. So that's just a rumor. Why take such a rumor so seriously? So basically he was a king, and king has to be spotless. even there should not be rumor. And therefore, we see that they would change their dress and wander the kingdom themselves. King would do that. Like Prithu also, we see from Bhagavatam 4th canto. And similarly, from Valmiki Ramayana, Lord Ram would do that. Change dress and wander in the kingdom and identify what people are talking about them so that they can take actions accordingly. So the king has to be very much spotless and so Lord Ram had this ethical dilemma. Ethical dilemma, there are two types of dilemmas. One is called as moral dilemma, another one is ethical dilemma. Moral dilemma is the dilemma between good and bad, which is very easy to sort. But ethical dilemma is very difficult to tackle. A dilemma between two right things, that is called an ethical dilemma. And same thing Arjuna was also facing before the battle of Kurukshetra began. That was an ethical dilemma. What to do? Should I fight? Should I not fight? And therefore he surrendered to Krishna and asked for some advice, which will be beneficial for him in the long run. Shreya. Shreyaskar. Arjuna was always asking questions for his long-term benefit. Karpanya dosho pahata swabhava pruchami tvam dharma sambuddha cheta yat shreyah syanishchitam bruhitanme shishyasteham shadi mam tvam prapannam. So he surrenders to Lord Krishna in 2.7 Bhagavad Gita and asks for what is beneficial for me. So that's an ethical dilemma. What is between choosing between two right things? Mother Yashoda also in Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto chapter 9, she faces this ethical dilemma, you know. What to do? Krishna is drinking my breast milk and simultaneously the milk which is supposed to please this Krishna only, that is boiling. So should I keep feeding milk or should I go and save that milk? I can. So she decides to save that milk because my milk is always available. I can feed Kana anytime. But let me save that boiling milk which is now overflowing. So ethical dilemma. So Lord Ramchandra was also facing that ethical dilemma. Arjuna had to face ethical dilemma because of his two duties. One is his Kshatriya Dharma and another one was Kula Dharma. As a Kshatriya Dharma, he should kill all those aggressors. As a Kula Dharma, he cannot fight his seniors, you know. Guru Nahatva hi Mahanu Bhavan Shreyo Bhuktam Bhaiksham Apihaloke. There were gurus standing in front, teachers were standing, forefathers, all they were fatherly figures, they were standing in front. How can I kill them? But as a Kshatriya, so Kshatriya Dharma was that conflict with his Kula Dharma. So similarly, for Lord Rama, there was tussle between his Kshatriya Dharma and his Pati Dharma. As a king, what should I do? Or as a husband, what should I do? So there is an ethical dilemma and he chose to take care of his kingly role. So let me be an ideal king for all humanity to follow. So he took that, but he also did not neglect his role of a husband because he ensured that Sita was cared for, although not directly but indirectly, under the supervision of representatives of his kingdom in the form of Valmiki and ladies in the hermit to take care. So one reason we saw that being a responsible king, he took that decision. And from Sita's perspective, if you see, Sita has already given Agni Pariksha and Sita has already not succumbed to either temptation or threatening orders given by Ravana. So basically we need to understand that Ramayana is a scripture which is full of Karuna Ras. Now Karuna Ras is not exactly compassion. But we can't have compassion for Lord and his associates. But the idea is normally compassion is invoked when we see somebody else is suffering. So seeing Lord suffering and how Lord is gracefully accepting that suffering, it inspires and attracts the emotion within us, which purifies us and increases our attraction to Lord, Supreme Lord. So this purifying emotion is aroused. That is Karuna Ras actually. So Lord Ram, who himself was faultless, he was exiled to the forest, and how he gracefully accepted that order. Sita, who was faultless, she was also sent to forest. How she also gracefully accepted that. So both are graceful in accepting the orders given by their seniors, and Sita never complained. There is not a single word in Valmiki Ramayana you'll find that Sita complains, why this is happening to me? How can you send me? No. So who are we to take side of Sita and say, how can Lord Ram do to that? See what Sita is doing actually. Sita is gracefully accepting. So Lord, when he descends to the world to perform his pastimes, he to some extent has to suffer. And the way he accepts suffering with grace is meant to be taught for all time to come to humanity. So that we learn our lesson that if we are going to blame, then Lord could have blamed, you know, Dashrath Maharaj. If Sita could have blamed Lord Ram, but no one plays a blame game. So we as human beings, we don't have to play a blame game when some difficulties befall us. Graceful acceptance of situations makes us humble enough, and that ras, those emotions purify us and attracts our heart towards the supreme pastimes of the Lord. So it is not that Ramayana recommends that, you know, that stepmothers conspire to send their stepsons into exile. Nor does Ramayana recommend that a pregnant wife need to be abandoned. No, not at all. Every scripture, if you don't understand it in its proper context and purpose, then distorted lessons can be taken out. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada's last line, if you see, these scriptures need to, and the pastimes of the Lord need to be understood from the self-realized souls, otherwise they are bewildering. So therefore, we need to understand then from commentators who have commented on these scriptures. So the intent of Ramayana is to stimulate within us those intense emotional attractions towards the Lord and his consort by seeing how they are suffering. And secondary, through their suffering, they exemplify to us how gracefully we accept suffering that comes in our own way. So Lord accepts suffering, it evokes those emotions. So this is the second reason. So the first reason we saw that Lord was taking the role, playing the role of a king, ideal king. And while being an ideal king, he had to face that ethical dilemma, and he took that role. He was playing that role of a king, ideal king, spotless king. Second, we saw Lord perform these pastimes. Ramayana is full of Karuna Ras, and when we read about them suffering and them accepting situations gracefully, we also become graceful and our heart become naturally attracted to them. And third, basically Jiva Goswami talks about this from the rasa point of view, that there is a higher experience. So that love in separation, we know that is higher compared to love in union. So that separation was to be there. And that separation is always greater than union, that we discuss from Krishna Leela also, that Lord Krishna was separated from the gopis. He was there in union with them only for 11 years when he was there in Vrindavan. But for next all the years to come, he was away from them, and they were united in separation, which is Vipralambaras, what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. And Jiva Goswami therefore says that Lord Ram's separation from Sita needs to be seen from this perspective of Rasa Tattva. which is the third reason. So the overall, if you want to see Sita's separation from Lord Ram, we can understand at multiple levels. And the first level we saw from the administrative point of view, as a king, Lord Ram had to set an example of complete detachment so that he could exemplify that dharmic detachment and ideal king for his citizens to follow. And on the other hand, Lord Ram was husband but not irresponsible. He arranged for care of his pregnant wife. Still, from the another perspective, it exemplifies to us how even Lord undergoes suffering but gracefully, and it inspires us to accept whatever suffering we undergo in our lives as our past karma, so that we accept them gracefully and not blame Lord. And it invokes those enriching emotions which will fetch attraction towards Lord in our hearts. And lastly, we discuss that Sita and Ram, they are eternal consorts, no one can separate them. But in the rasa of love, you know, the separation, vipralamba rasa, is always they are actually experiencing the highest emotional ecstasies as supreme lovers. So in conclusion, what we have discussed today, we are discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 19th chapter, 6th verse, which is like Hanumanji glorifying Lord Ram. And while glorifying Lord Ram, he uses various epithets. First of all, he uses Atma Atmavatam. Atma, soul of Atmavatam, self-realized souls. He is the soul of all self-realized souls. Self-realized souls are always taking pleasure in Lord Ram, and therefore he is called as Lord Ram. Also, Ramante Yogino Nante Satyananda Chidatmani. He is Suhruttamaha. He is the best among the causeless well-wishers. We saw how Sanskrit terms, some of them are non-translatables and some we need to understand them with the deep and profound meaning. Why Lord is called as Surut, and we also discussed 5.29 Bhagavad Gita and Sridhar Swami's commentary on that. Lord is also called as Bhagavan, and one aspect of Bhagavan we know is that he is Chadashwarya Purna, full of all six opulences. But Kaviraj Goswami gives five attributes of word Bhagavan. First is Paravyomete Stiti. He is situated in the supreme abode of Vaikuntha. Second is Chadashwarya Purna, basically. Third is Lakshmi Kanta. He is master of goddess of fortune. Fourth is, in all the Vedic scriptures, he is talked about as Purna Tattva. And the fifth is Nahi Yarasama. There is no one equal to him. Forget about anyone being superior to him. So these five aspects of Bhagavan we saw in terms of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami definition from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, second chapter, verse 23 and 24. In today's verse, then we also talked about Vasudev, epithet used by Hanumanji to glorify Lord Ram, which means all pervading. We saw then Saktas Trilokyam, the Lord is not attached to anything in this material world. And na Lakshmanam chapi vihatum arhati, that he could not actually give up the company of his younger brother. And we saw that pastime from Bhavartha Deepika, wherein Sridhar Swami narrates that Kal had come to remind Lord, and then maybe for that sake to keep his word, he had to separate from Lakshmana. And then the next word we discussed was Nastri Kurtam Kashmalam Ashnuvita. He could not suffer because of separation from Mother Sita. And we saw banishment of Mother Sita. There are three perspectives to look at banishment. First of all, the banishment is a very heavy word. I mean, we don't have to use that. So the first reason of banishment was we discussed, and what Prabhupada writes in today's purport also, is that he was a king, and that ethical dilemma of what is to be done. So he chose the duty as a king, but he did not neglect duty as a husband, because Lakshmana escorted and she was under the care of Valmiki Rishi in his ashram, where other ladies were taking care of her. Second, we discussed that when we see someone suffer, there is ras evoked within us, and when the Supreme Lord himself suffers, then how much deep emotions will be evoked in our heart, and our hearts will get attracted towards them. And how Lord also gracefully accepts suffering in his life or her life as Sita. So we also are inspired to accept those sufferings in our life as our past karma. Like what Brahmaji also prays in Bhagavatam 10th canto, 14th chapter, Tattenu Kampam Sushimikshamano, Bunjana Ivatma Kritam Vipakam Rudvagvapu Bhir Vidhan Namaste Jive Tayo Mukti Padesida Daya Bhag. That person becomes natural inheritance for the kingdom of God, one who says that I am suffering because of my past karma and offer all those obeisances to the Lord gracefully. And the third reason we talked about banishment of Mother Sita was that, which is mentioned by Jiva Goswami, that Vipralambaras, they are two supreme lovers, Lord Ram and Mother Sita, they are eternal Yugala, and they can never be separated, just like Radha and Krishna. But still, that Vipralambaras is always higher than the Sambhogaras, and they were experiencing that. And therefore, that banishment can be seen from these three perspectives. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport very beautifully that we have to understand these scriptures from our Mahajans, our great souls, Mahajana Yena Gataha Sapanta. Otherwise, our minds will get bewildered when we see other people talking something else about the pastimes of the Lord. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. If anyone has any question, we can take.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam Prabhu. Thank you for explaining in a very, very simple way, Prabhu, this verse and explaining the word Atma, Atmavantam, Bhagavan, Chuhuttam, and then the five aspects of Bhagavan from Adilila. I think second chapter, 23, 24 verse, right, Prabhu? Yeah, and explaining one thing, you know, I could relish, Prabhu, is the ethical dilemma, right? Three aspects, Mother Yashoda, or how she faced that, Arjuna and Lord Ramchandra. And many times we have this, Prabhu, question, why, you know, Lord sent Sita to the forest when she was expecting baby, children. So, you know, that you clarified a lot, Prabhu, in a simple explanation. Thank you very much, Prabhu, for a very, very beautiful class on Lord Ramchandra. And if anybody has any questions or comments, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanvar Pranams. Prabhuji, I was again, you know, thinking on the same terms. Like, often we get these kind of questions from newcomers to Krishna consciousness. And at that stage, even if we try to tell them that, you know, listen to senior devotees, they tend to think from a logical or, you know, trying to rationalize kind of point of view. So how can we, preach on such topics, you know, to a newcomer? Because even recently, there was one devotee who was trying to explain to their relative and they were not able to do so convincingly. The same questions like Arjuna's dilemma, Bhishma, and, the sufferings that Draupadi went through, things like that. I mean, that's what they generally come up with. So can you please advise how we can, deal with newcomers who have such questions, please?
Yeah, so this comes up many a times. And therefore, I also addressed this because this was there in my mind also before coming to Krishna consciousness, how Lord Ram can do that, you know. So therefore, we saw it from three perspectives, you know. So this is what we have to tell them. And the very first thing is that, see from the Sita's perspective actually. So if you read Valmiki Ramayana, and nowhere you will find Mother Sita any grudge or any ill motive towards Lord Ram because he has done that. Because she is a chaste lady. And she never resists a word. She never blames Lord Ram. So who are we to blame Lord Ram? In one way we can say that. And basically it's a pastime of the Lord and they are relishing it. So we have to relish that. That's what we can say.
Sure, Prabhuji. And just one small follow-up question, if it's okay with all. The other thing was I do see some people offering, you know, a perspective on on Sita's view of the whole incident, Mother Sita's view, and there are books which are coming out in this. I was wondering, is there any Shastric account of such a thing, like how Mother Sita viewed at the whole from her perspective? I was wondering.
Yeah, so Valmiki Ramayana is there, na? Sita's perspective means what? We don't have to just say Gita. When we say Gita, what was Arjuna's perspective? What is Arjuna saying? We understand their perspective through their words. So find out all those words uttered by Sita, Sita Uvacha, or Sita's mind, whatever is there. So we understand in Sita's perspective through that.
Okay, thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. So, Prabhuji, many times we get this question. Yesterday also we were having raised this question that Sita Devi is praying to Durga Devi or Shakti for, I don't know, Prabhu, for what purpose and what is the whole context. If you know anything on that, can you explain that, Prabhu, and which Kanda it comes?
See, we have gopis worshipping Katyayani Devi, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have that, Prabhu, yes.
We have that. So, we might find some incidences, like we have Lord Ram himself worshipping Shivlinga in Someshwaram, right?
Yeah.
So, these great personalities worshipping demigods, we can say other devatas, they are there in the scriptures. But they have a cause. This is your basic question, right?
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, yes.
Why do they worship? Why do great personalities worship other devatas? This is the question.
Yeah, that the thing is, people are, the put forward was, if Lord Ram is worshipping Lord Shiva, why not I worship Lord Shiva or I worship the Devi Devatas? That's the question actually.
So we can worship if we are worshipping in their mood. What was the mood of Lord Shiva, Lord Ram, when he was worshipping Shivlingam? That he is he is considered Shiva to be master. And basically Lord Ram wanted to prove that he is always a servant of his servants, right? Like he is supreme soul, supreme master, but still he became the chariot driver for Arjuna, serving his devotees. Prabhupada writes in the Purport, Bhakta Vatsala quality of the Lord. So sometimes you will see Lord Ram is worshipping Shivji, and sometimes all the times you will see Lord Shiva also worshipping Lord Rama. Parvati asks Shivji, what are you doing? Rame Rame Manorame, I am chanting names of Lord Rama. So he is, on the contrary, worshipping Lord Rama. So basically Lord Ram is showing that anyone who worships me, I am ready to serve that person. So Bhaktavatsalta quality only is coming forth. And even we see gopis worshipping Katyayani or Sita worshipping Durga or whatever. Even we see Rukmini when she was kidnapped. You see where she went?
She was going to Ambika temple.
Ambika temple, she had gone from Ambika temple. From there, she was abducted by Krishna. So, these mentions do come, but they worship with a cause. They don't worship with to fulfill their material desires, right? In the outside world, why people worship devatas? Krishna explains in Gita 7.20. Kamaistaiste ritagyana prapadyante anya devataha. They go and worship anya devatas just because of their chitta. They are abducted by kamanas, so many material desires. So worshipping devatas out of material desires is not good. But if someone is worshipping them and asking them, what Rukmini was asking Ambika, let Krishna be my husband. What gopis were asking Katyayani Devi, let we serve Krishna in the same way. So if we want to ask any benediction through the demigods, then we ask them that please bestow supreme devotion unto your supreme master Lord Krishna. Then that is not wrong. But we go and asking them for some material benedictions, that is not correct. So that we need to see and learn from these great personalities.
So Prabhu, in there could be some people who are going to the devatas, Devi devatas, not for any material purpose, just they go there. So that time, will they direct to the Supreme Lord?
Obviously. We have so many incidences, so many examples, even amongst our devotee communities, that initially they were, like myself, I was a staunch devotee of Hanumanji before coming to ISKCON. And every Saturday I used to go to Hanumanji temple, worship Lord Hanumanji. But my sincerest prayers to always him was like, please give me what is good for me. And then I ended up here becoming a devotee of Krishna. So it is not that I have left Hanumanji. I'm still trying to be a brahmachari and I need his blessings to follow my brahmacharya.
Yes.
And to follow his mood of please working always for the pleasure of the Lord. So it's a custom in today's society. What you are saying is right. Not that everyone goes for fulfilling material desires. Many people go, but there are a few souls who are inquisitive. They also go. Or when they just happen to be in the temple. So if they ask for something which is for their greater benefit, that give us something which will purify us, give us something for our ultimate benefit, then certainly they will direct, Prabhupada also writes this, they will direct them to worship Krishna, who is their own master in one way. So they are also actually not so happy when you go and approach them and ask something. They actually say, yeah, why are you coming here to us? You better worship Krishna. So they also want us to worship Krishna and we can do so. So we ask them that please give us devotion to Krishna. Even that, you know, recently there was Mahashivratri festival and devotees were circulating the prayer to Gopeshwar Mahadev. We have Gopeshwar Mahadev, you know, when we go to Vrindavan, we take darshan of Gopeshwar Shivling also. So what is the prayer offered? Oh Chandramole, oh Lord, you are responsibly taking the service of serving the Dhamma by protecting it. So we also want benediction that you give us Sarati to Lord Krishna. So if we offer these prayers fervently to Lord Shiva, he will certainly fulfill. So in the mood, we need to understand that yes, we can offer such types of prayers to these devatas that they bestow devotion unto Lord Krishna to us. But we don't have to succumb to all those external vidhis and niyamas of observing those vratas to please them. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you very much, Prabhu. And few chat messages saying a very nice class. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Very simple and easy to understand and comprehend. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranam. Does anybody have any more questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam. Would you suggest like we should have Ananya Bhakti like Sita Maya towards Ram?
Obviously, yes.
Then shall we chant Ram and Krishna always?
Yes, that is what our Mahamantra is.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
We chant their names always. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As ordained by Lord Chaitanya, Kirtaniya Sada Hari. So we chant their names always. So thank you, dear devotees, for your patient listening and such an interactive session. I consider it my pleasure to be with you. I also am a learning sadhaka. I learn a lot from all of you. So if something good you must have liked, it is because of the mercy of all senior devotees whom I am associated with, I am listening to, I am reading from. And if while speaking, I might have hurt anyone's emotions, then consider that as my fault and do forgive me for that. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jai Srila Prabhupad ki Jai.
Thank you very much, Prabhu, for your wonderful association. Looking forward for again to it. Thank you all for joining today. Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha
Kripa Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Krita Naam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah
Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai
Jai
Jai Ki Jai Praise Krishna Dhan Prabhuji Ki Jai
Jai
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.